In his 1838 Lyceum address, a young Abraham Lincoln spoke to his concern that as memories of the Revolution receded into the past, the nation's liberty was threatened by a disregard for the government's institutions, which protect the civil and religious liberties bequeathed by the founders. To preserve the rule of law and prevent the rise of a would-be tyrant who might spring up amongst us, sober reason, cold, calculating, unimpassioned reason, would be required. To remain free to the last, he exhorted his audience, reason must be embraced by the American people, along with sound morality and, in particular, a reverence for the Constitution and laws. As Lincoln well knew, the founders of America established the young republic on the Enlightenment principles of reason, liberty, progress, and religious tolerance. And the constitutional architecture they crafted was based on a rational system of checks and balances to guard against the possibility, in the words of Alexander Hamilton, of a man unprincipled in private life and bold in his temper, one day arising who might mount the hobby horse of popularity and flatter and fall in with all the nonsense of the zealots of the day, in order to embarrass the government and throw things into confusion that he may ride the storm and direct the whirlwind. The system was far from perfect, but it has endured for more than two centuries thanks to its resilience and capacity to accommodate essential change. Leaders like Lincoln, Martin Luther King Jr., and Barack Obama viewed America as a work in progress, a country in the process of perfecting itself. And they tried to speed that work, mindful, in the words of Dr. King, that progress is neither automatic nor inevitable, but requiring of continuous dedication and struggle. What had been achieved since the Civil War and the Civil Rights Movement was a reminder of all the work yet to be done, but also a testament to President Obama's faith that Americans can constantly remake ourselves to fit our larger dreams, and the Enlightenment faith in what George Washington called the great experiment entrusted to the hands of the American people. Alongside this optimistic vision of America as a nation that could become a shining city upon a hill, there's also been a dark, irrational counter-theme in U.S. history, which has now reasserted itself with a vengeance, to the point where reason not only is being undermined, but seems to have been tossed out the window, along with facts, informed debate, and deliberative policymaking. Science is under attack, and so is expertise of every sort, be it expertise in foreign policy, national security, economics, or education. Philip Roth called this counter-narrative the indigenous American berserk, and the historian Richard Hofstadter famously described it as the paranoid style, an outlook animated by heated exaggeration, suspiciousness, and conspiratorial fantasy, and focused on perceived threats to a nation, a culture, a way of life. Hofstadter's 1964 essay was spurred by Barry Goldwater's campaign and the right-wing movement around it, just as his 1963 book, Anti-Intellectualism in American Life, was conceived in response to Senator Joseph McCarthy's notorious witch hunts and the larger political and social backdrop of the 1950s. Goldwater lost his presidential bid, and McCarthyism burned itself out after a lawyer for the U.S. Army, Joseph Welch, had the courage to stand up to McCarthy. "Have you no sense of decency, sir, at long last?" Welch asked. "Have you left no sense of decency?" The venomous McCarthy, who hurled accusations of disloyalty throughout Washington, the State Department harbors a nest of communists and communist sympathizers, he warned President Truman in 1950, was rebuked by the Senate in 1954, and with the Soviets' launch of Sputnik in 1957, the menacing anti-rationalism of the day began to recede, giving way to the space race and a concerted effort to improve the nation's science programs. Hofstadter observed that the paranoid style tends to occur in episodic waves. The anti-Catholic, anti-immigrant, know-nothing party reached its height in 1855, with 43 members of Congress openly avowing their allegiance. Its power quickly began to dissipate the following year, after the party split along sectional lines, though the intolerance it embodied would remain, like a virus, in the political system, waiting to reemerge.